Commentator Matt Miller says President Bush's tax cut plan is deflecting attention from the president's spending plan.
It's President Bush's spending blueprint and not his tax cut that shows how radically his plans depart from his sugary middle-of-the-road rhetoric. It turns out Bush is determined to shrink the size of government more than any previous Republican president. To illustrate, I have to explain three quick numbers. Now, I promise it'll be painless, class, and astonishingly insightful. Our entire system of self-government could depend on it. Okay, economists agree the best way to measure the size of government is to compare federal spending to the overall size of the economy, or gross domestic product, that's GDP. Under both Ronald Reagan and the first president, George Bush, spending averaged 22% of GDP. Under Bill Clinton, faster economic growth combined with spending restraint pulled it down to 18%. The new President Bush's budget would take federal spending to less than 16%. Now let's review. Reagan and Bush the elder, 22. Clinton, 18. George W., 16. It's hard to overstate the far-reaching consequences of this reduction. However unfairly, Bush's tax relief returns just a nickel on the federal revenue dollar. Bush's spending plan, by contrast, takes the federal government back to its size in the early 1950s, before the advent of most of what we think of as modern government. Even defense shrinks under Bush's plan. If Bush simply held spending steady at today's already modest level, the feds would have $250 billion more to spend in today's dollars a decade from now. That's enough cash to buy a second Pentagon or six more departments of education. It's enough to provide health coverage to America's 43 million uninsured several times over. If Bush chose to run the government at the size his father's budgets routinely proposed, the feds would have a stunning $600 billion a year more to spend. Bush's claim that his budget meets the nation's needs is undermined by these realities, and it reveals his shockingly narrow definition of priorities. The president's tiny plan to extend health coverage to the uninsured, for example, is one-fifth as rich as the plan his father offered in 1992, back in an era of big deficits. Bush's budget offers two new dollars for education and health care for every three it gives in tax relief to wealthy heirs. This is tragic, because the next decade may be the last chance America has to address problems that federal cash can help fix. After that, the baby boomers' costly retirement will crowd out the resources and the political energy to do much else. If enacted in anything like its current form, Bush's budget guarantees that we will squander this historic window of opportunity. Class dismissed.
The comments of Matt Miller, a syndicated columnist and co-host of Left, Right, and Center on member station KCRW in Santa Monica, California.